Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Then again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness of their heart and said to that man, "Stretch out your hand." And so the man stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The word Sabbath is central to today's readings. It's one of those words that just drips with religiosity and is rarely used anywhere else. In fact, most religions have some kind of day of rest, even if they don't describe it as a Sabbath. And the essence of a Sabbath is to have at least one day a week to abstain from work that is focused on benefits for the individual. So let me say that again, because this is key. The essence of a Sabbath is to have one day a week to abstain from work focused on benefits for the individual. So then we get to the Hebrew Scriptures, and we keep reading past what we read today in Deuteronomy. The Hebrew Scriptures, also known as the Old Testament, and there we find that over time the Israelites defined what was considered appropriate to do on a Sabbath and what was inappropriate. So they said things that were inappropriate were things like cooking or trading or plowing and reaping or gathering wood or even loading up, packing up animals. So I say all of this because it's key to understand what's going on in Mark. So in the Gospel of Mark, we heard of two instances where Jesus worked on this day of rest. We discovered that the Pharisees caught Jesus disobeying the law, and the first time they caught him was when Jesus' disciples were gathering food to suppress their own hunger. And the second was when Jesus healed a man whose hand had atrophied or wasted away. And here is where the controversy takes place. You see, the religious leaders caught Jesus breaking the law twice. There's no disagreement with that. But then the leaders brought Jesus' criminal activity to his attention. But instead of pleading guilty, Jesus argued that they had turned the gift of a Sabbath into a legalistic avenue devoid from its original intentions. So, what in the world were the original intentions for the Sabbath? Well, we can go to our first reading to discover that. Because we have our first reading from Deuteronomy, which mentions the Sabbath. And it also, sometimes we label this as, any guesses? What we label that reading from Deuteronomy is sometimes called the fourth commandment. No? And nobody's heard of the commandments before? Seriously? Anyone? Okay, well, oh, we got some work to do then here another day. Not today. So I had to, in confirmation class back in the day, I had to memorize all 10 of the commandments, right? But when they made us memorize it, we only had to recite the first part of verse 12. Because remember, if you read the Bible, it doesn't say here's commandment 1, here's commandment 2, here's commandment 3, although we like to think that. Anyway, so they just had us recite the first part of verse 12, which is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So that kind of sounds a little bit like a commandment. But you see, if we keep reading along in Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is described in greater detail. And here's what it says. It reminds us that we shall work for 6 days and take a Sabbath on the seventh. But it goes on further. It says, but the Sabbath is not just for us and for our families, but it's also for those who work on our behalf, both human workers and other animal workers. So these things include people who are refugees, who are migrants, who are immigrants, and who are foreigners. And so now as I reread this commandment as adult, I finally realize that the intention of the Sabbath is to be a gift for all people. It's intended to be life-giving. It is a benefit bestowed by our God for those of us who already have the luxury of taking time off and for those of us who have to work every single day just to make the ends meet. You see, the Sabbath is about protecting the most vulnerable, the ones who are most likely to be abused with constant work by their employers. It is the quintessential biblical argument for a living wage throughout the world. Because a living wage will actually allow the poor to partake in a day of rest. You see, the Sabbath given by our God is God's law to bring about the fullness of life for all of humankind. But I have to say, I think we often are like the Pharisees. We get caught up in the letter of the law and forget the spirit of the law. We sometimes find ourselves at the extremes of God's commandment for a Sabbath. On one end, we might actively choose to ignore the Sabbath as we seek power and pride in our busyness of our status-driven culture. And then we force that on others on our behalf, and we wear this medal of productivity all in an attempt to mask our soul-sucking existence. At the other extreme, We then become overly legalistic about the Sabbath. We think that if we grasp onto this instruction without exception, even to the point of ignoring and abandoning the needs of our neighbor, that we will somehow be vindicated by preserving our own self-interests at any cost on this one day. And so at this other extreme, we prioritize our own need for rest while intentionally allowing over 13 million U.S. children to go hungry each and every night. You see, at both ends of the Sabbath spectrum, that is, with complete avoidance or with overzealous legalism, we miss God's intention for that day of rest. It kind of reminds me of that one kind of preschool soccer coach who I've seen on the sidelines who just completely forgets the intention of why preschoolers are playing soccer, right? He's swearing at the referee. She's benching the child because they're picking flowers. And they're working on complex moves and demanding perfection like they're getting ready for whatever the Super Bowl is of soccer. You see, this type of coach has forgotten the point of preschooler soccer. At 3 years old, soccer is more about having fun and socializing, getting some experience, and exhausting the child for their parents. All the parents really laughed hard at that one, but it's true. Sure, we know the game has rules, but legalism in this case is not bringing joy or life to the team. And so too, Jesus reminds us today in Mark 2:27 that the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. And with that, Jesus is reminding us that all the laws given by God were created as a gift for humanity. Yet I have to say one of the most popular theological beliefs in modern Christianity that I hear over and over and over again is that we were somehow created to do nothing more than fulfill God's rules. But you see, what happens with that kind of outlook on life and the scriptures is that God is chiefly known as holy, and humans have to work to somehow achieve a level of holiness to be acceptable to God. So then, all of a sudden, we have all of these rules and requirements that we must baptize a child, or we must go to church every Sunday. And then this leads into that destructive guilt that is ever present in modern-day Christianity. But the thing is that's not Mark's take on theology. Because today we oh so clearly see that Mark, the Jesus in Mark, is offering us an alternative theology. You see, it's a theology where God is chiefly known as love and where laws and rituals are given for our own good. These laws and rituals offer us a way to respond to God's grace with gratitude found in abundance and in the life that we've already received. So then what that looks like is it looks like us not worshiping the ogre of obligation, but rather we gather here to be reminded of God's gifts. For in baptism, like in Damon's baptism today, God reminds us that instead of being so self-centered, we have a God of abundance who pours out life-giving water to recenter us in God's freely given gifts. And then, like our 5 baptized members who will take their first communion today, we gather each and every Sunday at this table. We gather here together as God's people in our diversity and in our differences to celebrate God's lavish gift of community while also being strengthened to love our neighbor. For you see, our faith is not about the letter of the law, but rather it's about the spirit of God's abundant gifts. And so, my friends, there it is. Here we are at the end of the sermon. And I hope that you remember today that a balanced view of Sabbath is a gift from God. It's a gift that reminds us that God desires a full life for us and for all people we interact with. And while in our culture here in America, we often worship status and money and busyness and pride, God's Sabbath finally saves us from ourselves. And so too, the Sabbath empowers us. It encourages us to care for the poor and the vulnerable by advocating for systems that justly provide God's Sabbath. Friends, today we've been reminded of a divine gift. So let us go forth from this place, fed and nourished at the table, drenched in the baptismal waters of our God, working for peace, striving for justice, and ultimately seeking that life-giving Sabbath that our God bestows on us and all of creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.